Well, good morning, everybody. And it's really lovely to see you all. Never experienced anything quite like this in technology terms. So I've done some limited Skype calls, but the Zoom certainly giving us 76 participants this morning is really something quite new. And like has been expressed already, on behalf of all of us, I wanted to thank Andrew and Ian, particularly in the way that they've put this up together and made it possible for us to spend this hour together in a very unique and special way. I have things that I want to say, but initially that some of those things will already have been covered, but I want to just do it anyway. I should also take this opportunity to thank the coordinating group who are working in the church to care for us and to provide services and ministries in these days. And first of all, too, I want us to acknowledge the amazing work that so many are undertaking on our behalf for the good of the nation. This would include all the workers in the NHS with its frontline staff and many others, including many, many volunteers. I guess most of us will have some personal link to those in such positions. In our own nuclear family, we have immediate connections with frontline staff, such as the ambulance service, ITU nursing care, etc. We pray for them all, as well as the thousands of people grieving the loss of loved ones today. We are encouraged in Scripture to pray for our leaders, our Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the government, as well as those key scientific advisors working strategically, grappling with this pandemic, especially now we know that some of them have contracted the virus themselves. Our responsibility is to comply with all the current directives to minimize loss of life by viral spread. We are truly living in tumultuous, unprecedented days. The very fabric of our national life is being shaken. The loss of life on a scale unknown to those who were born post-World War II is shocking. The speed with which things are changing makes it hard to understand and plan for. Numerous people are infected. Many are suffering bereavement and grief, while others are facing financial hardship, loss of income, collapse of business, etc. There is now a new normal, with all of us experiencing lockdown, being restricted in our social interactions. Schools are closed and there are very strict rules governing our freedoms, making family relationships very difficult for children, parents and grandparents. Many of our elderly community are struggling and there is much fear generally. During the recent weeks that this situation has been evolving, my daily Bible readings have been in the book of Genesis and covering the life of Joseph in particular. Joseph was raised up by God at a time of incredible national and international crisis in Egypt and in Canaan. Scripture says, from the land of the Hebrews, the famine was over all the face of the earth. You can read that in Genesis 41:56. Consider all the events and factors in his life that took him from being an ordinary Hebrew to be the Chancellor of the Exchequer in Egypt. He was making all the strategic decisions and initiatives to avert the impact of the famine by the age of 30. Remember how he started out, being betrayed by his brothers, hated in his family, sold as a slave into Egypt, which is a foreign power and country, unjustly imprisoned, forgotten, languishing there, brought before Pharaoh to interpret his dreams, resurrected from prison, exalted to the place of power and authority in the kingdom. He was able to forgive his brothers, and he gave prophetic insights into their future succession as a family and a dynasty in the way that he allowed Jacob to bless his sons. This must be one of the most remarkable revelations in Scripture and indeed in history of the sovereignty and power of God as he intervenes and orchestrates the affairs of men so dramatically. We see the great picture from a distance, but Joseph was living through it. We can also see a very clear revelation of the coming Christ as we look forward several thousand years from Joseph's time and note the amazing comparisons between the two. The more one ponders the story, the more in awe of God we become. Some of Joseph's last words are recorded for us in Genesis 50, verse 20. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive." In this, we see the declaration of faith in the context of adverse circumstances. The situation we face today is not the same as Joseph faced. It's not a matter of people wronging us, etc. It's an unseen enemy, a natural pandemic, a deadly new viral infection. However, the statement of faith remains. God is in control. He is over all. He is still sovereign, and he is still on the throne. I believe we need that perspective more than ever in our day. There have been tragic numbers of people who have died in the last few weeks. I am not suggesting that that is insignificant or trying to in any way be insensitive to these families. However, beyond and above this, we do believe in a God of love who is sovereign in all things and who works all things together for our good and to bring about his will and purpose. We know the well-known verse in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When Joseph's father, Jacob, was about to die, he called his sons to him for him to bless them all individually. In blessing Joseph, recorded for us in Genesis 49:24, Jacob said, "The archers have bitterly attacked him, shot at him, and harassed him severely. Yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above." In these days we need to stand strong. There is much to cause fear, to divert our eyes from him. Certainly Joseph had experienced his share of adversity, including the very real threat of death. But his bow remained unmoved. He had come to know the mighty one of his father Jacob. He had learned to depend on his strong, agile hands. He had come to know him as both his shepherd and his stone. The love, care, and protection of a shepherd, and the stability, strength, and solidity of a stone. The day I read Genesis 49:24, I also read Psalm 23, which was the second of three scriptures that I follow in my daily reading plan. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We tend to merely associate this scripture with funerals or possibly weddings, but the psalmist gives us much more than that. He is speaking out of his experience of adversity and trial, occasions when he needed to know the strength of God's arm, his daily provision, his deliverance from fear, the power of his staff and rod. Interestingly, during these days of enforced rest, a slower pace of life, a change of lifestyle, etc., perhaps not for those families with young children, some of us may find opportunity to take time out in green pastures and to rest beside still waters. When the business of life slows, it gives us a chance to reflect and consider where we are in our walk with the Lord in a way that is seldom possible in the normal course of events. If we can, we should take these opportunities to pray, read, meditate, and find a new rhythm to our lives. It also provides families with time to spend with their children in a unique setting where time spent together in these shared pursuits can significantly improve the quality of their lives and family bonds. Although not meeting in person these days, they do provide the church with a real opportunity of connecting with one another through the use of the phone and some of the modern technological developments, thus allowing friendships to blossom and fellowship to deepen. In conclusion, may we in this period, both individually and as a people, discover new depths of God our Father in this time of uncertainty and deep concern. We have an almighty God. We know his agile hands holding and fashioning our lives. We have proved him as our shepherd. We have learned to stand upon him as our living foundation stone. There is a world that needs that message today. We have a hope and a certainty that only true believers in Jesus can know. May he give us courage to proclaim it by the way we live our lives, and as we have opportunities to speak and to share of the hope we have in Christ. The Lord bless each and every one of you. And again, it's been such a joy to see you this morning and to know that we stand together and trust a wonderful God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.